This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome into The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio. Chance Collins, AM 1340, FM 105.7. As always, you can catch the live stream if you go to fanrunradio.com. Click the link at the top. Always, we have our Fan Run Radio app. You can tune into our Periscope feeds at our Facebook and on our Twitter live. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 in the house with you for the next couple of hours. 6 after 10. It is a little bit of an overcast here in Knoxville this morning. Hey, glad you could tune in. Glad you are listening with us, or listening to us. I guess we're listening too, though. Great day. Happy Tuesday. I'd like to go ahead and go around the room. How are my guys doing this morning? How you doing, Chuck? You're very much into this betting this morning.
Yeah, I am, Chance. We got a lot going on here.
You got a lot going on. Charlie's like, put the game on. Put the game on.
I successfully picked every winner yesterday and every over-under.
Really?
But one game
that
got delayed
yep.
from yesterday afternoon to 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Rain delay?
Yeah, they just postponed it yesterday, so they just decided to start it early this morning. And now I just need that to hit to win some money.
Okay. Take it to the bank. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. GP3, how are you this morning?
Man, I am tired. My fire alarm got set off last night about 1 a.m.
Oh, man.
Already asleep. Dogs started going crazy. We all had to evacuate the building. Didn't get to go back in for about 30 minutes. And once you wake up, you know, it's hard to go back to sleep. And then have to wake up at 7:30.
Was there a fire or did somebody pulled it?
No, I don't know. They said they were never able to find the cause. They just silenced the alarms.
Huh. Interesting. Well, jam-packed show for you today. Lots of things to get to. We got some Tennessee football news. We got some news around the Shield. A little NFL news today for you. Also, news recap from last night's game in the Association. So, I guess the biggest news for us here in Knoxville is a legend retires. That's right, a legend will be retiring after a 22-year career that includes 274 University of Tennessee football games, 14 bowl games, 3 SEC championship games. Vol Radio Network football color analyst Tim Priest has decided to step away from the booth to spend more time watching his grandchildren's athletic exploits. Priest had this to say, for the last 22 years, I've had the privilege and honor of being a part of the team bringing the radio broadcast of Tennessee football to the Vol Nation. I've had the privilege of working alongside the SEC's best play-by-play broadcaster, Bob Kessling, and the folks at the Vol Network who are the very best in the college sports network business. His football weekends go back to 1967. Is when he started really being, I guess what he says about his tension has been around Tennessee football. But his career with the Vol Network started in 1993, filling in for predecessor, longtime color analyst Bill Anderson, who was the sidekick to John Ward. Prior to the Vol Network, he's an original member of the popular Football Finals radio program that originated in Knoxville's WIVK alongside VFL Bobby Scott and Joe Thompson. Tim Priest, out of the booth. I know I heard Houston and Nate and Davey talking about this on the way in. Houston's pretty sad about it. How you guys feel about Tim Priest leaving the booth? I listen to a lot of Vol Network as well, you know, radio, but I don't have the same, I guess, connection as a lot of people who grew up here in East Tennessee. What do you guys think about it?
I'm in the same boat as you, Chance. I don't really have that.
Yeah,
that's.
I know it's
going to
be sad for a
either.
Lot of people here who grew up here listening to Tim Priest. That's all they've ever known after John Ward and Bill Anderson. And he had a pretty tough task of taking over for Bill Anderson, like I said, sidekick to John Ward. That was a tandem that was the bee's knees, I mean, the upper echelon. So it's going to be different. I feel like when I have listened to him, yeah, he's a homer like you're supposed to be, but as I've heard a lot of people say, he's very animated, and it seemed like he was animated, but it was just it wasn't like he was putting on a show, no theater of the mind. He was just that's just who he was. Like he didn't care to let you know how he felt about the team at the current time or the coaching staff. There's a lot of what are they doing? I heard a lot of that last season, Jeremy Pruitt's final tenure. I remember his infamous maybe 2 to 3 years ago. It might even been with Butch, and I know Russell in the afternoon had a sound drop of that. I forgot what happened, but he just goes, damn it!
Yeah, I think it was against Florida, mishap that happened. And
yeah.
Just, damn it!
Yeah, damn it! So he pretty much wore the heart of the orange on his sleeve and didn't hold back. So changing of the guard, what'd you think about GP3? Did you listen to Tim and Bob a lot?
See, growing up in the mid-state, I didn't have access, really.
Yeah.
Watched games on TV and got whoever was selected that week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have that connection either, like you two, but I've always enjoyed listening to the sound bites and whenever like Tennessee would post highlights and they would, you know, dub over Kessling and Priest. So I liked hearing his voice, but I didn't have that emotional connection either.
Exactly. Well, we will wish him well and congratulate him for his future endeavors. Getting to spend some time with the grandkids. I guess the biggest story for us, sports world, NBA playoffs last night.
Well, that and
also
college baseball.
Yeah, college baseball. Tennessee does find out who their opponent is. Tennessee will be playing LSU this weekend. LSU takes out Oregon in the Eugene Regional. So a rematch of the series that Tennessee already played them this season in conference play. How do you guys feel about that? First thoughts? Yesterday I've been torn on it. I was back and forth. At first I was like, oh, let's play LSU. You know, you beat them up pretty good. And then I started thinking about it because other people were telling me this as well, and that kind of takes some different perspective. Well, you really don't want to play them. One, they're playing on Cinderella story. They're playing for a coach who is making his last hurrah. Palmieri is retiring after this season. So they're playing with that chip on their shoulder, if you want to say it's a chip, but playing for their coach, win one for the old Gipper, you know, that type of thing. And then two, and I don't know why I didn't think about this, but they're more familiar with you than Oregon would be. They've seen your pitching. They've seen your offensive lineup. They've seen what you can do. They've watched you all season being a conference opponent. So that started even thinking. I was like, I kind of do want Oregon then, you know. It'd be unexpected to them. What were you guys' thoughts when you saw LSU won last night and they'll be heading to Knoxville?
Man, I'm giddy. I don't know if it's the better matchup or not, but it's the one I'm excited about. I mean, it is. it is going to be a madhouse. The fact that they have a head coach that admitted halfway during the season that his team got rattled by our crowd. He admitted that, just flat out said that it had an effect on his players. I can't believe a coach would say that. No wonder he's getting forced into retirement. We're going to make that a lot quicker, his forced retirement. But
absolutely.
Man, the fact that, you know, that's already been set up, the way that first series went, you know, I think that our crowd can really get to this LSU team this weekend. They are a very, 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 very young team. You know, they kind of got lucky that they got to go to Eugene, who didn't, you know, even fill up their stadium to half capacity last night. You know, the LSU fans, you could hear them over the Oregon fans, and that's about as far away from Baton Rouge as you can possibly get in the continental U.S., and they were still there. So it's really exciting, and I think LSU's the worst team. It's the better matchup. Yeah, they know you, but, I mean, they have one good starter, that one good reliever, and a lineup that's top-heavy and full of young players.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. That's a spin for me. I've been torn on it back and forth. GP3, what are your thoughts when you see that the baseball Vol is going to be facing off against LSU once again?
Well, I wanted Oregon. I wanted to play Oregon just because you touched on it, the unfamiliarity there, but now that it's LSU, bring them on. I'm not afraid of them. I don't think anybody should be afraid of them. We swept them earlier, hit back-to-back walk-offs on the same day. I think it's the first time that's happened in our program history. Yeah, I mean, bring them on and send Minari back home crying once again.
Yeah, I think so, too. The one thing that I think will, what Charlie said, what you just touched on, it's going to be a raucous crowd. I mean, they're going to be I see chants the entire time at LSU, probably a little, you know, some directed towards Palminari. It's just going to be loud. He thought that Tennessee fans were loud when they came just on a conference.
They were nasty, half capacity, too.
Nasty. Yeah, and that was when we were at half capacity.
Yeah, we were just simply
not even.
Yeah, not even half capacity. So you think about how these regional games have been set up. You know, the extra seats, it's been a sold-out crowd every single
night. And Tony V's pushing for more. I mean, he said yesterday that, you know, looking around, there were still patches in the stadium where he thought that you could fit more people.
Hey, bring them all. We need more. He needs more. The more the merrier. And I don't know if this is true. I know there's a rumor going around, and this might have just been some banter back and forth on the Vol for Life page, but I did see some people talking about that he asked for the Pride of the Southland band to be in attendance.
Now,
I don't think you get the whole band. Probably a lot of gone back home, but maybe a little pep band like they do for basketball.
I don't know
if that's allowed.
That doesn't sound like something he would ask for. I don't know. Maybe he is crazy enough to ask for a band.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just do that.
I don't think you can either. Like I said, it's probably just...
we might as well.
It's probably
what are they going to do, take our birthday away?
Well, just fan chatter.
If they go out, you know, beyond the fence, technically not in the stadium, in the outfield wall, and just start playing.
Just start playing Rocky Top in between innings?
Yeah.
I'd love it. The Vols will take on the Tigers starting June 12th. That is...
poor Trey Morgan.
That's Saturday, correct? Yeah, Saturday at 7 p.m. The next game will be Sunday at noon or 3 p.m. And then, if necessary, playing that Monday at 4 or 7 p.m. Eastern. And all of these games will not be on the stream. Thank the Lord. They will be on ESPN2 or ESPNU. So you don't have to worry about a stream if you don't have that means of a streaming device or the ESPN3 app. You'll be able to watch these on regular cable, satellite, etc. Don't worry, fans.
Guess who we got on the call?
Who do we have on the call?
Berkey!
Oh, nice. Berkey on the call. Love to see it. 865-546-8200. Hey, phone lines are filling up. We're going to take a quick time out. Come back on the other side. Let's get to your calls. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger. Welcome back to The Blitz, live here, Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, AM 1340. We're going to go ahead and get to the phones in just a minute, but I'd be remiss if whenever we're talking about Tim Priest, he's going to be retiring from the Vol Network as the color analyst. Well, his backup, or his designated backup and pregame teammate the last few years, the former Vol NFL quarterback Pat Ryan, has been tabbed as the new color analyst to be the sidekick for Bob Kesling in the booth. He'll be present on football games for the 2021 season. Pat Ryan has extensive radio and television experience in this state. Over the last 6 years, he served as a key member of the Vol Network's popular pregame kickoff call-in show crew. And for the last 11 years, he's been a part of the Vol Network's statewide weekly Big Orange Hotline. Pat Ryan had this to say: "I'm excited and honored to be following the footsteps of former Vols Bob Fox, Bill Anderson, and Tim Priest in the color analyst role on the Vol Network. We look forward to having a lot of fun in the radio booth calling Tennessee football games." If you remember, Ryan was also a popular radio color analyst for the Tennessee Titans for 6 seasons, from 1999 to 2004, which included calling Super Bowl 34. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma native, played at Tennessee from 74 to 77, and he was a backup to the legendary, the one, the only, Condridge Holloway. So Pat Ryan will take over for Tim Priest. So, you know, putting it in good hands, what we love to see. 865-546-8200. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines, GP3, and let's take a phone call from Titanic Bill. Titans Bill, you're on the Blitz. Talk to me.
I want to give you Pat Ryan's famous phrase: "That's a bunch of junk."
What? Repeat that one more time for me.
Now that's a bunch of junk. That was his famous phrase.
That's a bunch of junk.
Yeah, that was his famous phrase when he was.
Should be the title of our hour.
Junk or
chunk? Commentator. Cater for Titans Radio.
You like Pat Ryan? You think this is a good replacement?
I like the replacement. I believe he's gonna add a lot of pizzazz to Titans to the Vol Network. Now let's just get rid of Bob Kesling and maybe hire Mike Keith to do the play by play.
They missed out on him years ago. Keith wanted the job whenever it was up when John Ward was out, and Bob Kesling wanted over Mike Keith, and he's got it made.
Well,
he could do
two jobs. He could do the Vols on Saturday and the Titans on Sunday.
He's Tennessee native, but that he's got it made now, though, Titans Bill. He only has to do 16, 17, 18 games a year. He doesn't have to do all sports. He has it made. He's an established voice.
Well, he still does a lot more in the offseason. He does, like, high school sports and stuff.
He does some of that. But like,
better than Bob Kesling.
There's no argument there.
Yeah,
definitely, I mean, 10 times better than Bob Kesling.
I agree there, too. But just all that goes into the jobs with both of them, because you have to include the call-in shows and the being at practice and the coach interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would just be impossible.
And Mike Keefe still helps out with some Vol Network features and stuff. He'll do some videos. He did some voiceovers this past season for him. He's always going to be involved because he loves the university. He's from this area. He went here. He wanted the job at one point, but Tennessee just missed out and didn't give him the job. So he's kind of established himself, and he's got it made. I think we would never see that. But hey, here's a little side bit of useless knowledge. In 2010, writer Jeff Perlman of Sports Illustrated article suggested that Pat Ryan is the best backup quarterback to ever play the game. Huh, didn't know that.
So.
Yeah, useless knowledge. Titanic William, have you been watching the baseball Vols?
No, I haven't, but I'm
what are you doing?
I'm watching these shows like Midsummer Murders and stuff like that. I get too nervous when I watch the Vols play.
No, you can't take it. So
I can't take
besides
it.
Besides the Vols, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Titanic William. What do you think about your Titans landing Julio Jones?
I like it. They didn't give up much, just a second round pick and a fourth round pick. And, of course, the Titans, they get a bargain basement pick along with Julio Jones.
It was a good day to be a Titan fan.
It was a great day. And a fantastic, even maybe mythical day to be a Titans fan.
Exactly. And one thing that also I'm excited about, they're going to keep Tony Vitello here. I think that Randy Boyd is letting Daniel Boone White know. That's what I call our athletic director.
Well, thank you for
Daniel
clarifying.
Boone White, you know, like I call Dr. Plowman, Dashing Dante.
Dashing Dante?
Dashing
okay.
Dante. Yeah, that's what I call Dr. Plowman.
Okay. I guess we'll allow it. We have no other choice.
And I also call her Chancellor Chanel number 5.
You're a nickname okay. guy. A lot of nicknames in the tank.
Exactly. It seems like Randy Boyd is letting both of them know that I'm really running things here. I'm the El Presidente, and I got the big money people backing me.
I'd say there's
and it's
some...
also proven that I am far more powerful than you are, Dashing Dante. And I'm pretending I'm Randy Boyd here. I'm also far more powerful than you, Daniel Boone White.
It does call her Daniel Boone White, though. I mean, you know, he
there's something to say about how he's had some ownership, you know, since he's been the president. He has, like, made some good moves for us. He was able to retain Rick Barnes. He's able to talk to donors and pony up money, it seems, for Tony Vitello, make him one of the highest-paid college baseball coaches, and also give him the facility upgrades that he needs.
Yeah, I feel confident in letting Randy Boyd have power.
So, there's your story in a nutshell.
Well, thank you, Titans Bill. Anything else for us before you head out?
Buddy, that's it. That covers it.
Hey, I guess go Titans.
Yeah, hey, go. Not I guess. Go Titans Bill. Let's go, baby.
Appreciate the phone call, Titanic William. Thank you, as always. 865-546-8200. That is the number to get on with us. Hey, Phil, hold tight. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, come back, give you all the time that you need so we don't have to cut you off. Listen to the Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on.
Welcome back to the Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio. Great music. R.I.P. Kenny Rogers. We lost him last year during the pandemic. R.I.P. 865-546-8200. Without further ado, let's go ahead and go back to the phone lines. Take a call from Phil. What's up, Philly?
Oiler up.
Oiler up.
Yeah.
These Oiler fans, they got a little pep in their step, don't they, Phil?
Well, they are. They're, all ado about nothing. The biggest highlight of their whole franchise is 1 yard short.
Well, I would say the biggest highlight was the Music City Miracle, Phil.
Well, what did it get you?
1 yard short.
I mean, I don't know.
We're a 20-year-old franchise in Tennessee.
They're not. They're the older franchise, and they're losers there and they're
Tennessee.
Losers there.
Yeah, in our time in Tennessee, we've been one of the –
You got these two Titans fans here. They're not
having
it.
The tables have turned, gents.
That's okay. It's okay. It'd be like that sometimes.
People can't stand it when a small market team goes big.
That'd be a good year for y'all. Now y'all got the you got washed up receiver from Alabama. I'm going to help you out now.
Phil, who's your team again?
Cowboys.
My team?
The Cowboys, Phil?
I got 5 championships. How many you got?
How many of them were in my lifetime? Like, I'm 22 and they haven't sniffed
one. I'm older than you are. At least I experienced winning instead of losing.
Love to see it, Phil. Phil, you excited about the regional Super Regional this weekend playing LSU?
Not really. LSU's been a thorn in our side in all the major sports starting in 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no lie there. I'm a little nervous because of the familiarity with the Vols. They know their lineup. They know their pitching staff. they're going to come in a little bit of chip on their shoulder because they did get swept the last time because of the crazy fans and the loud, nasty fans.
I think Tennessee's got the better team, but I think he's won the first game.
Yeah. I would agree with you there. Whoever wins that first game, I would say in my eyes, likely to win the Super Region and head to Omaha.
Oh, I could see LSU winning that first game because they do have, however you say it, Marcia show, the one really good starter. He actually closed the game for them last night. You know, maybe they could steal that first one, but they don't have enough pitching depth, I think, to win the next two.
Yeah, but LSU won't be intimidated by our crowd, or anything, even though we swept them and everything. I remember back in 2001, we pretty much toasted LSU up here in Neyland Stadium and then went to the Dome and got embarrassed.
You know, I think we can kind of intimidate them with our crowd. We did it once before. They admitted to it. It is a very, very young team, and they had some of their young players struggle on the road in the SEC this year when they played some of those hostile in some of those hostile environments.
Well, I guess we have to beg to disagree again. I mean, LSU knows how to win. They got, what, four national championships?
Yeah. He's done a hell of a job there. He's been coaching for, what, over like 40 years or something. I know like 22 at LSU. He's done a hell of a job. Phil, news this morning broke about Tim Priest retiring from the Vol Network staff. You, as an East Tennessee native and somebody I'm sure has listened to a lot of Tim Priest calls, what did you think about that and Pat Ryan taking over for him?
Well, Tim's probably tired of watching bad football.
And he don't mind telling you either when it's bad football out there. That's the one thing I liked about him. He's a homer, and he definitely ain't going to homer it up to where he's just, you know, carrying the water.
I mean, he served his time, and Pat Ryan is probably the best killer guy they've ever had in my lifetime.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it's just a shame. I may also let Tim Priest stay in the booth with Pat Ryan and then get rid of somebody else, you know, cooking.
Yeah. How good was Bill Anderson?
He was all right.
Yeah.
He was perfect fit for John. Of course, John Ward kind of dominated the whole shebang there.
I knew Bill Anderson. I met him when I first moved to Knoxville. You know, RIP. I know he's since passed on. But I met him when I first moved to Knoxville. I was bartending, waiting at an Italian restaurant, and him and his wife used to come in with their grandkids. And then also, I worked at Cherokee Country Club for a long time, so I used to always park their cars. And I'm a big Packers fan, and then I find out after like a year of knowing him that he actually played on Lombardi on that Super Bowl team. He was a tight end on that team, and he showed me a Super Bowl ring. I have some pictures with him. That was a pretty cool experience for me. That's all I know about Bill Anderson. But yeah, he was on that played in Super Bowl I or whatever as a tight end. On that Lombardi team.
Yeah, Pat Ryan was a good backup quarterback in NFL.
Yeah, it's funny. Probably likely before my time, but I like a lot of sports history. But yeah, that Perlman said that he was likely the best backup quarterback of all time.
But I do believe there's a mistake made. He was a backup behind Jimmy Stritter. It wasn't Connors Holloway.
Oh,
he might have been 1 year Connors Holloway was there.
Okay.
His first year, I think Holloway might have been. You know, that was I think Holloway's last year.
Okay, might have been Connors last year.
Connors Holloway, that guy could play. It's too bad that he didn't come around now.
Yeah,
because college football's perfect for him now. But of course, he probably wouldn't have come here since he's from Alabama.
That is true. You're right. He was just a little bit before his time of his skill set that he brought to the game. There weren't quarterbacks doing that. Hell. Alabama, they didn't want him because they wanted to make him a running back or a receiver. They didn't want him to play quarterback. And then he ends up at Tennessee, and the rest is history.
One more thing, guys. I see where Akeem Abasuki's transferring from Vanderbilt to Kent State.
Oh.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, congratulations. Probably going to get a lot more play time. Maybe get to show off his skill set a lot more. And getting out of Vandy, too.
And Asuki. Wait, what?
Akeem Adesupe, he played at Knox Catholic. He had his first year at Vandy this past year as a freshman. He didn't get much PT, kind of just, to the bottom of the of the depth chart, you want to say, or the roster, the bench, the rotation. But Phil says he's transferring to Kent State. So that's happy for him. Maybe get to show off his skills more.
Hey, go Golden Flashes, baby. Get it done.
And BJ and BJ and Brandon Miller are over at UT right now.
Yep.
Official visit.
Official visit. It's a good day. They gotta get Brian Edwards. They gotta get him. Hey, appreciate the call, Phil.
Oiler up.
Oiler up. Always good to get a call from Phil. Yeah, man. BJ Edwards has his official visit today. That's huge. Really got to lock in your in-state commitments or in-state prospects, and definitely when they're right in your backyard too. And I've gotten a chance to see BJ Edwards a couple times. Kid can ball, and he's only improved over the last couple of seasons under the tutelage of Knox Catholic's head coach Mike Hutchins. Later on the show, I've got some anonymous opposing coaches. You want to get into that? Bringing down Tennessee's issues. Yeah. A lot, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
Also, a lot, sure. Hey, speaking of Vols, former Vol Juwan James, he found a new home. He is now with the Baltimore Ravens, signed a two-year deal, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Yeah, how does that make any sense?
So yeah, it was a little weird.
Long-term plan, I guess, because they know he's not playing this
year. They
signed
him to, like, a two-year deal, though, so.
Yeah, he's got a torn Achilles.
Like, you're going to – I can't believe they're sitting there in Baltimore thinking, okay, let's give $9 million to a guy who didn't play last year, is now not going to play this year, who will be rehabbing a torn Achilles, and who is aging. Yes, yeah. That's our guy. That's the tackle that we want. I mean, I hate to, you know, hate on a former Vol, but it's just
– doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's kind of funny.
Former first-round pick of the Dolphins was released last month by the Denver Broncos just 10 days after he suffered that torn Achilles tendon while training away from the team facility. He signs a two-year deal worth up to $9 million with the Ravens. Unlikely to play during the 2021 season, as Charlie just pointed out. His deal with Baltimore, though, does include a fully guaranteed $500,000 this year for him to rehabilitate the injury, and in 2022 he will be under contract north of $8 million, according to Adam Schefter. The deal is worth as $3.5 million with $500,000 guaranteed, $5 million in incentives, and another $500,000 roster bonus if he's on the team by next March. He filed a grievance against the Broncos seeking $15 million in salary he was owed over the 2021 and 2022 seasons. He contends that he suffered the injury while working out in a manner expressly and or impliedly authorized with some of his Denver teammates. So that was the thing in the story, that it was unauthorized for him to be another facility. But before the Broncos cut him, they designated him for the non-football injury list, which James' grievance argues is, quote, for protection against reckless and improper off-field player conduct. 6 seasons with the Dolphins. Like you said, aging. 29-year-old, and then he signed that big deal with the Broncos in 2019 for 4 years, $51 million, making him the highest-paid right tackle in the NFL at that time. We love to see it, though. Love to see a former Vol.
I'd like to see him get that money.
Landing on his feet, per se, even if his –
well, maybe just 1 foot.
Yeah, maybe just 1 foot because he's got a torn Achilles. But we love to see it. He filed the grievance. He's trying to get paid. He's trying to get back out there. I guess is that like the Good Samaritan thing for the Ravens to do? Like, I mean, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Does that,
like,
make up for having a guy that committed allegedly double homicide on your team for 15 years?
Also, in other breaking news around the Shield, is sad news, but former New York Giants head coach Jim Fossil has died at the age of 71. His son John has confirmed to the Los Angeles Times that he died on Monday night. Fossil lived in Las Vegas. He died of a heart attack while under sedation after being taken to a local hospital with chest pains, is what John Fossil told the LA Times. He was the head coach of the Giants from 1997 to 2003. Guided that team to 3 playoff berths. He was named the NFL's Coach of the Year in 1997. They lost to the Baltimore Ravens in that questionable Super Bowl, 34-7 in Super Bowl 35. I think that was the year, that might have been the year of the suit after that Super Bowl. With Ray Lewis, as you were just talking about. Funny how things come back full circle. I'm serious. I think it was after they won the Super Bowl, they were out partying, and that's when that happened. It went 12-4, won the NFC East, and Fossil was 58-53-1 overall with the Giants. In addition to coaching the Giants, longtime assistant, offensive coordinator roles with the Giants, Broncos, Cardinals, and Ravens. His most recent job was with the Ravens under head coach John Harbaugh. He also coached in the college ranks, leading Utah from 1985 to 1989. So thoughts and prayers to Jim Fossil's family as the NFL loses one of their own. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on with us. Hey, coming up, last call for hour number one. And as always, let's do that hockey on the other side. This is the radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio. Hour number one finishing up right now, as we have been doing for the last couple of weeks in the spirit of the season. I will now kick it over to Charlie Collier, and let's do that hockey. Charlie's NHL update.
Oh, let's do that hockey, eh? All right, Monday night, you had a couple pivotal games. The first game of the night, it's been one of the best series so far, the Islanders and the Bruins. And it was a pretty heated contest. A lot of emotions, obviously, two pretty crazy fan bases. The Islanders get out to an early start, and then they have a 3-goal lead in the third period. The Bruins do get two back, and they get some really, really, really good looks down one goal in the final, you know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. But unfortunately, they could not bury one. So the Islanders go on the road and pick up a huge Game 5 win. They now lead that series 3-2. And, you know, in a 2-2 series, when you go up 3-2, you're winning, I think, like 70-something percent of the time. The winner of Game 5 in an even series. So an absolutely huge win. The Bruins not happy after the game. They don't feel like the officiating has been very fair.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah. Well, it worked for the Hurricanes against the Preds when their coach complained about officiating. They started getting the calls. So might as well try it if you are Boston. But, yeah, he said, they're not Saints over there. The Isles are not Saints, and some other hockey stuff. So, pretty upset there. But, yeah, Islanders go up 3-2. And the late game, a north of the border, the Canadiens. The Winnipeg Jets going at it. Winnipeg was down in the series 3-0, and they're on the road in Montreal trying to avoid the sweep. And the Canadiens, who are really just a hot team right now. They won three in a row to win that series against Toronto. They've won three in a row in this series, and they've been scoring the first goal of the game and now seven straight games as well.
Yeah, I saw a stat. They haven't trailed in like 433 minutes of game time.
Wow.
Well, they got off to that same hot start last night. Last night they take a 2-0 lead, but jump out to a couple quick goals in the first period from Lekkonen and Gustafsson.
Did you make those names up?
I could have, but I didn't. But then Stanley for the Winnipeg Jets, he nets a couple in the second period, ties
my
it back
guy
up.
Stanley.
Your guy Stanley, and it really looked like the Jets were on the ropes. It looked like it was ball game over, series over. But they score those two second period goals, and then we have a really just back and forth third period. It goes scoreless, and we go into overtime. And then just into overtime, a beautiful pass from Nick Suzuki and Caulfield to Toffoli. And Toffoli buries it. Yeah, real name, I promise. And that's it.
We did
the Habs get the sweep. And the team that, you know, probably was the least expected to be able to reach that final four has made the final four. So when you get to these final four, whenever the other three series ends this year, it's just being reseeded based on regular season points, which is a little weird, but that's how they're doing it. The Habs, no matter who win, will have the lowest point total.
Are you saying the halves?
Habs.
Habs.
Something else they
call H-A-B-S.
Okay, I was like, the haves and the have-nots? Like, I didn't know what we were doing.
The Canadians.
Okay, the Habs. That's what they call them?
Yeah, they call them the Habs sometimes. Call them the Canadians as well, because that's who they are. But the Canadians, regardless of who wins any of the other three series, do have the lowest point total, so they'll play the winner of the Avalanche and Las Vegas series, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they will. So
okay,
and the
tough road ahead, but credit to them for making it this far.
And I think Trudeau up there in Canada said that they will be allowed to travel to the U.S. to play their games.
Let them out of Canada.
That was a concern. That
yeah, they
we gonna free Drake
they had to get
Canada?
A lot of approval to do that.
We got to let Drake out of Canada, too, then.
Is he stuck in Canada?
That's what Lil Wayne said.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. Wait,
Lil Wayne said.
So if you live in Canada, you can't leave Canada right now?
Mm, no.
Nope. I thought you just couldn't go in. That seems very illegal to just hold people in a country.
Unless it's for, like, because I have a buddy who lives in Canada. It's, like, unless it's for essential travel. Something
or probably
like
somebody died or something.
Yeah.
Like close family.
Like
member,
the
yeah.
borders are absolutely shut down.
At least
down
their
up
drugs
there.
Are legal up there.
Yeah, they're not playing around. They ain't letting anybody leave.
That's absurd.
Especially in Ontario.
How is that allowed? How can you make people stay in your country? I knew you could you know not let them leave or I mean not let them come in, but
they shut down the borders.
Yeah, they shut it down completely.
You ain't leaving. They're not playing any games.
Holy
There's,
cow!
Up until last week, they weren't even allowed to play golf outside. They yeah. were that shut down.
Oh, I don't yeah. understand those silly Canadians. That's what happens with
some people would say their health care is better. I don't know.
Well, their health care is not better. That's why they're still shut down. Anyway, tonight.
That didn't make any sense.
No, I mean it does. Like they haven't been able to vaccinate people.
Well, that's on Trudeau, their prime minister. That's a whole can of worms, though. I don't know if we want to get into the politics.
We should
of
just talk
Canadian
Tuesday night
government.
Hockey. Woo!
I was fine with it. I just said some people said their health care is better. I didn't say anything else. Charlie was the one. That's not right. I didn't say anything. All I said was some people. Didn't say me. I said some people. Tuesday hockey, though. We did the hockey. Hey.
Tonight, yeah, the Lightning and the Hurricanes. Game 5. Hurricanes are at home trying not to lose that series. They trail in that series 3-1.
It's over.
Tough road ahead. And what's suddenly become a very, very intriguing series.
The
Golden
Knights
head back to
my Golden Knights.
Yeah, your Golden Knights, I guess. Head back to Colorado.
You're gonna take out the Avalanche.
Wait, Colorado? That's a tough place to play, baby.
I love how you said Colorado.
Well, all that's right. how it's supposed to be pronounced. My roommate's from there, and his whole family was, and he's like, they're really sensitive about it in Colorado. Like, they want you to say it right.
It's not Colorado. It's Colorado. Hey, if you're looking to get into Lindsey Nelson Stadium, we told you, hey, the
don't
game's
tell them.
The games have been set for Saturday, June 12th, Sunday, June 13th, and Monday, June 14th, if necessary. If you want to get some tickets, you need to head over to allvols.com or utsports.com. And general admission, all session, $90 ticket packages will go on sale tomorrow. That's right, tomorrow, June 9th at 8:30 a.m. You have a limit of 4, phone sales only. Call the Tennessee Ticket Office, 865-656-1200. That's right. You want to get those tickets? They're going like hotcakes. You got to be up and ready at 8:30 in the morning tomorrow because they will sell out fast. Like the last time they sold out in less than 30 minutes, or it was something about 30 minutes to an hour. So tickets are going to be going fast for the Super Regional this weekend. You don't want to be one of those people who are having to go out an hour and a half before and try to get some extra tickets.
An hour and a half?
Well,
5 hours.
Yeah, probably 5 hours, but they won't sell them until an hour and a half up until game time. So get your tickets, people. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on with us. Coming up in hour number 2, let's go ahead and get to the association. Got some anonymous coaching quotes on Tennessee football, and we're going to hit you with an opening drive. Hour number 1 is in the books. Hour number 2 on deck.